Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And welcome to Tinfoil Hat. Today's episode is brought to you by Simple Contacts. Right. Simple Contacts is a convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription and reorder your brand of contacts from anywhere in minutes. It's visionary vision care simplified. Renew your prescription and reorder your brand of contacts from anywhere in minutes. No more doctor's offices or waiting rooms. The vision test is a self-guided and it only takes 5 minutes. Think of how much time you can save compared to making an appointment, going to the doctor's office and hanging out in the waiting room and taking time off. It's designed by doctors and licensed ophthalmologists, right? Did I nail that?
Yeah.
Review every test carefully to make sure your eyes look healthy and that your vision hasn't changed. Simple Contacts offers all the brands of lenses you are familiar with, including options for all different kind of eye problems, colored contacts, and more. Simple Contact customer support ensures every customer is 100% satisfied. You get text updates on your order, and you can ask questions or reorder at any time through text. Wow, fun and festive. Sweet. I'm thinking about getting contacts because my glasses make me look like an old man. I want to look like a young Christian warrior with the ladies. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to stare at the sun until I need contacts.
Yeah, I respect that. So, guys, this is great. The vision test is only $20 compared to the annual appointment, which without insurance could cost you over $200. Come on, man. The contact lens prices are unbeatable. Standard shipping is free. And the best of all, we're offering this promo to our listeners here at Tinfoil Hat. You mad hatters, you crazy people. So go, you hit the URL, which is simplecontacts.com/tinfoil, okay? Or go to simplecontacts.com and use the promo code tinfoil at the checkout. $30 off your order, only for you guys, because we love you. Because you guys are the truth seekers, and when you're looking for truth, you better have good vision, okay? And in the zombie apocalypse, what happens if you lose your glasses? What's going to happen? You're not going to be able to see. But the contacts, you don't have to worry about that because you'll be moving and grooving, and you'll be looking like a young Christian warrior who's here to make love to the ladies, okay? Because you don't have glasses on. So check out our good friends at Simple Contacts. If you want to check us out on all of our social media platforms, on Twitter at Tinfoil Hat Cast,
on Instagram at Tinfoil Hat Pod,
or allcomedytshirts.com,
email us at tinfoilhatpod@gmail.com.
Tinfoil Hat.
Tinfoil Hat.
Hey man, where's the truth there, dog?
Tinfoil Hat.
Oh, what the fuck are you guys even talking about?
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
Yeah, welcome. And thank you guys for tuning in to the last episode, the big 100. It was a smashing success. But now we're on to our next 100 episodes. We are growing more and more. This is Tinfoil Hat. You know who we are. You know what we're here to do. Joining me as always, is Off the Grid. How are you?
Loving, living, learning.
Okay, yes. And why don't you introduce our next guest?
It's probably one of my favorite guests, a three-peat. He might be just the most guest that we've ever had.
No, I think it's Eddie Bravo.
This might be the most educated guest we've had back.
Okay, that's
so here
true.
We go.
Eddie Bravo's educated, just a different kind of education.
You're trying to get me in trouble with Eddie Bravo.
No, I'm trying not to get you in trouble, Eddie Bravo. That's why I'm trying to
Eddie,
do
Eddie, I can outrun you.
Okay.
That's all I got to say.
I'm not
man.
Sure about
but
that.
But you know. So please welcome to the Tinfoil Hat Podcast, Mr. Jason Louvre, everybody.
Yes, everybody, our favorite warlock.
What's up?
How are you, dude?
I'm doing good. It's great. I feel like I'm kind of coming home here because I've been doing nonstop promotions on a billion podcasts after I was here last. So it's like, you know, full circle.
The return of the prodigal
son. Do you consider this home court?
Yes, I think so.
Woo! Yeah. Nice.
A home court.
Take that,
a
Duncan.
Home
a home court.
Now, let me ask you something. How's the book going? How are the reviews?
Reviews
is the
are
army
great.
Growing? What's going on? Talk to us.
So the book is already in its fourth printing. I think last time I was on, I was saying the first printing was about to sell out. So yeah. It's already on its fourth printing. It's gotten great reviews. Lots of great reviews from the readers. That's what matters. People are already saying I'm a deep state MK Ultra agent.
Well, welcome. Are you a gay Jew chill? Are you
yes,
gay Jew
actually,
chill?
Last night somebody accused me of probably being a Jew. So
okay.
I'm like,
you made it.
What?
You are in, dude. That's a sign you've made it when you are a gay Jew chill.
That was it. They said I was deep state, that I promoted bestiality, and that I was probably a Jew. I was like, that's a really weird comment.
That's a weird combo.
Yep, it's a really weird comment.
You haven't made it till you've been accused of that. Now you're in. Dude, and to the victor goes the spoils.
That's the real Illuminati.
So the book's going well. Can one more time tell them about the book and all the amazing stuff, because it is a pretty incredible story.
So yeah, the book is about John Dee, who is the court astrologer of Queen Elizabeth I and is the person responsible for modernizing science, laying the groundwork for science, creating the British Empire, and also talked to angels for 10 years who told him how to bring about the end of the world.
Oh, fun festive.
Yeah, it's a good combo.
These people love bringing the end of the world. Right, Aaron? Yeah. That's when they got rid of the McRib sandwich. That's how Aaron felt. It was the end of the world. Am I right, buddy? How's those Fritos going as you're getting all that fucking red dust all over our equipment here at All Things Comedy? So what are we here to talk about? I was pretty excited when you told me what we were going to talk about.
Well, you know what's so funny? What just started last week was what we talked about last time. And there's a show that came out about Jack Parsons called Strange Angel. And it's so interesting how the occult and paranormal and esoteric secret.
How do they depict him? Is he just a guy who just wants to make the world a better place?
Well, I haven't watched it yet. But I ran into, just around the corner from here, is a place called The Crooked Path. And it is an apothecary, and it's also like an occult store. I walked in randomly.
Did they say, Ryan, we've been expecting you?
No, but he was a cool dude. And randomly I mentioned, I was like, hey, have you ever heard of Jason Louvre? And he's like, he's actually coming up in the game, was the term that he's used.
Oh, look at you.
On the crooked path.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad that I have the accolades of somebody, an apothecary.
Congratulations, dude.
And right there around the corner.
The warlocks and witches are talking about you, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Buzz is out there.
So it's awesome, yeah.
And congratulations.
Definitely. So it's crazy to think that people like us used to just talk about this in the shadows, and now it's in the forefront. It's on CBS.
You have one of my favorite quotes on the show where you said that the internet has allowed us to get the knowledge of the elites, and I always think about like how like this is probably the time right now, unless they're so good at this game that they're playing. Like, they have to be scared shitless with all the truth out there. And it's, like, to me, very interesting. And when you said that, that always resonates with me, probably more than anything anyone's ever said in the show.
Whoa. Well, it's crazy. I mean, I walked outside my front door the other day, about 2 weeks ago, and the city bus went by. And on the side, it had a picture of Jack Parsons, and it said, sex, magic, rocket science. I'm like, what dimension am I living in? What timeline is this? I saw it again in Beverly Hills the other day. I was driving back from doing Sean Stone's show. There the bus goes again. It's like, what is going on? But everyone wants to know about this all of a sudden. And it makes perfect sense to me because everything else has fallen apart. The world is in a state of total chaos and turmoil. And every other thing has just crumbled in front of our eyes, like when Thanos puts on the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
So, but magic is left standing for some reason. So everyone wants to know about that. What is that? Maybe that could help me.
Maybe it's time to shine. Maybe organized religion is leaving people with more questions than answers. And maybe magic is something that can fill that void.
Yeah, well, nice to see everyone. I've been out here for a couple decades around the campfire. Come sit, have a can of beans.
Hey, dude.
It's great out here.
I'm telling you, dude, I think it's better to hit later on in life than to hit early.
Yes. Are you saying it's later on in my life?
So? No. You're a young man. But I think of people like in comedy, like I have friends of mine like Joey Diaz, right? Joey's hit 5 years ago, right? Maybe 5 years ago, 3-4 years ago. I'd rather be hitting in my 50s. Then hitting in my 20s, and then I burn everything out, and then,
right. You
know, I think it's better to hit when you can appreciate and focus on it than to hit wicked early. And the point is, it's like with magic and with you and all this stuff, it's good to hit now than to hit a while ago, and then it's just passé.
Isn't that crazy, though? Like, I got like slightly well known or somewhat well known. My first book came out when I was 23, so I got some buzz there. And yeah, I went through all those early 20 stages where it was like the ego and then the burnout and then the craziness. And that seems to happen with people who get, you know, known early on. They think they're special, but they don't know yet.
You know, it doesn't. I see it happen in comedy. It doesn't – you don't get the ego fucked out of you. And I think it's very important to get that beaten out of you.
That's right.
That you're like, hey, man, you're not – the worst thing is people who think they're the chosen one and that they have a – like within comedy, we always see where people like got it early and they have a nasty ego and they mistake being like funny on stage for being like a black belt and ass whooping off stage, and they walk around like they'll beat everybody. I'm like, you've never been in a fight, you get punched in the face, you're gonna start crying. You need to be thankful for what you have,
right?
Instead of going around like you're a gift to all of us,
right? Yeah, America is a capitalist society, you know. It's like, it's not just about what you can do, it's about what have you done for me lately.
Yeah,
it's like either you serve people in a way that makes them happy or not. And you know, when
the
people don't have use for you, then you know,
is the energy you get back.
That's right.
And I think it's very so. You guys, what do you guys want to talk about today? I'm very excited.
Well, so what I was saying, how the world works. I'm looking in there, and the only picture that's framed on the wall is a picture of Aleister Crowley. And I was like, interesting. I'm going to be talking about that today. And he was like, oh yeah. And I was like, yeah. I've got this little conspiracy podcast. That's how he came up. And he was like, wow. Tell him I said. He's doing good work. So
thank you.
The occult world is proud you're doing it. So
were there any hot chicks there?
They came in to buy some sage, but I believe they were together.
You should just hang out there with your book. And just as the ladies walk by, just let them know what you know.
Yeah, just flash the book around.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, that time in my life is in the past.
I get that. You're not chasing anymore. Yeah, you're just hanging.
I'm just hanging.
I don't want you to get you in trouble if you have a lady or anything. Yeah, like
that does tend to happen in your 30s. Like you said, you go through the spiritual paint thinner in your 20s that strips away all
you
that.
You mean huffing the paint thinner?
Yeah.
You know us.
With Ryan, we're learning more and more about him every day.
Yeah, Sam thinks he's the resident drug guy. He's
have you ever heard about the paint thinner elves? They're like the DMT elves, but you know, just a lot more abrasive and solvent.
Really?
Yeah.
For huffing. The best thing to huff is gold or silver.
Is that true?
Yes, 100%.
Wait. What happens when you huff gold or silver?
It's just higher metallic, a lot more. It gets coats your lungs.
With gold and silver?
Yeah, and you have like, it's more of like Anunnaki.
Please
fantasy.
Do not do this. Don't listen to Ryan and his bad advice of huffing gold and silver so your lungs get... Like, what are you, nuts? You don't say that, dude.
It doesn't work for everyone.
Is this like Jekyll?
It doesn't work for everybody. Anyways.
So, you know, we've talked about John Dee, and then last time you were here, we talked about Parsons. Well, I figure the unholy trinity, if you will, would have to involve the one and only Crowley.
The unholy Crowley.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we get into Crowley, the Jack Parsons show, does it deal with any of the Satanism, or is it like a Hallmark version of... this guy.
No, it's like the Satanist Hallmark version of it. Like, they made it really cheesy, but they dial up all of the occult stuff. So they changed the story.
Is it like Charm? Do you remember the show Charm with...
Charmed?
Yeah, Charmed.
No, I never saw it. I know about it, but...
It was so like is like WB cheesy witches stuff.
It's not quite that level, but it's a little soft.
Is it the Hunger Game cheesy where everybody's like cross-dressing military people?
That probably happens about 3 or 4 episodes.
We're
only on episode 1.
I was watching Star Trek, the last one. I'm like, this isn't real. Everybody, if whatever year this is, if it's in the future, everybody is a trans on the Enterprise. It's like all cross-dressers. Kirk would be RuPaul.
You know, as Father's Day just passed not too long ago, I wanted to wish the father of trans happy Father's Day. So,
who's
Ziggy,
the
wherever you are, I know you might be on Mars. I just wanted to say the one and only, Mr. Stardust, have fun.
I respect that. So, Aleister Crowley, what a, like, it's very interesting. I would love to get Mark Maron on here because he's somewhat of a fan of his, or a fan of what kind of he's done, his influence on everything.
Because Mark's definitely a rock and roll guy, so he sees his fingerprint in it all.
So where do you want to begin?
Yeah, give it to us, Jason, because look at the awesome thing about knowing you now. It's like we can just have a conversation, and who knows more about
where do you
Crowley
want to start off?
Give it to us.
So Crowley, Aleister Crowley has got to be one of the most well-known and yet misunderstood figures in maybe history.
Okay.
He is well-known for advocating ceremonial magic as a way towards self-realization. But man, that guy, where do we even start with that guy? Crowley was incredibly intelligent, kind of a sociopath, kind of fucked up. He's like one of these guys that's so intelligent that they're just riding above everyone else, and they kind of use it as an excuse to be cruel to people.
Yeah.
You know, they're so quick-witted that just, you can't get a word in. That's kind of the deal with Crowley, I think.
I call that nerd comedy. That seemed to be what we're going through. They were very successful. Well,
he was very alpha, though. So, you know,
he wasn't a nerd
paper,
then, right?
At least on paper, he liked to portray himself that way. Although, you know, like Crowley. Okay, so Crowley was born rich. He was born into this rich family that was wealthy from like making beer or something like that. Had a really fucked up fundamentalist Christian childhood, which scarred him for life.
And then see that a lot. Like, a lot of serial killers have, like, crazy moms who, like, in the name of Jesus, dressed them like girls and sent them to kindergarten class. Like, there's this weird kind of, like, organized religion beatdown that happens in these kids' lives that they go on and it affects them later on in life.
Kind of like Republican senators. It's like the same kind of deal there.
100%.
Same deal with Crowley, you know, that type of thing going on. And so he, of course, decided to identify with Satan and spend the rest of his life rebelling and trying to destroy Christianity. So he wrote tons of books. He went all over the world. He was a mountain climber, had all these sexual escapades, tried to learn every single path to religious or esoteric knowledge in the world. He was an intelligence agent also, much like Dee for MI5 and MI6. And man, that guy, he wrote thousands and thousands of pages. He liked to shift his personality, so he changed who he was on a regular basis. I've been looking at his stuff for years and years and years, and you know, he's always different every time you go back to and read his stuff. Of course, he wasn't really a guy you would want to emulate either, despite having so many adventures. You know, he was a lifelong addict of heroin and cocaine and used a lot of either. He was very cruel to people around him.
Yeah, but that was back when, like, those drugs were seen as healing.
Yeah, they were prescribed to him for his
asthma.
Like,
you got a headache, try this off, the mainline some heroin.
That's right.
And then take a jog, walk it off.
use a British stiff upper lip to get through that broken forearm. That was kind of the deal. And he became an addict. And he was a fucked up guy, as I talk about in the book. And you know, being a genius and being fucked up are sometimes not mutually exclusive.
Well, I couldn't agree more. It is like, it is sometimes, I think, when people are too smart that it's hard for them to relate to everyday people.
Now, Sam, were you in a fraternity?
Yes.
Ah. What was that fraternity?
Alpha Tau Omega.
So at 23, he began his, I guess you could call it fraternity. It's the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. And so what people also formally call OTO, correctly?
Oh, two different groups.
There we go.
Two different groups.
School me. Bring it down.
So the Golden Dawn, did you guys ever see the Sherlock Holmes movies, the Guy Ritchie ones?
Yes.
So I think it's the second one with Mark Strong in it. They actually incorporate the Golden Dawn. Mark Strong is supposed to be Crowley. It's a great look at it, and they get everything pretty much right.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
You never hear that said. They did it perfectly right.
Well, nobody even got it, you know, because people don't even know about this stuff. But clearly the people who made it did. So the Golden Dawn was like this kind of like cool kids club in Victorian England. It was for all the movers and shakers in society, high-ranking Freemasons, but also actors and actresses and writers. W.B. Yeats, the poet, was in it. Mm-hmm. Florence Farr, the actress. Bram Stoker, who wrote Dracula, was in it. And it was kind of like this Eyes Wide Shut type thing where they were gathering in Masonic lodges and but also doing lots of magic. And the order was teaching people really, you know, actual real magic through a grade system. That's how – and Crowley joined it as a young man, and everyone was repulsed by him, mostly because he was bisexual. Nobody could handle that at the time, and also, you know,
handle that right now. A guy bisexual freaks people out. If you watch that show that's now on, it's kind of like Making of a Murderer. It's about this guy that him and his wife, they're like having a great night drinking and wine, and she takes off. And he comes in, and according to him, she is, like, dead mm-hmm. at the bottom of the staircase with, like, these lacerations on her skull. And he's like, I didn't do it. And then they find out that he's bisexual, and they use that against him as him wanting to off her.
Yes, the old bisexuality excuse.
But if you're a bi chick, everyone's like, oh, dude, she's so hot. Yeah, you get the keys to the kingdom, all the coke you want, invite to every party, right?
I'm a clear motive.
Yeah. You can meet some very beautiful women. It's fine. If you got a little penis, it's all good, man.
Where did that come from?
Hey, I'm just putting it out there. You're salting my game over here with all my possible trans hookups, dude. Jeez, Sam. Come on, man.
So they were scared of him because he went both ways, which back in that day was like a death sentence. Like people were going to burn him at the cross. Well, he likes ladies and dong.
Well, they just put Oscar Wilde in prison 10 years before, and he died shortly after getting out of prison. So, yeah, it was serious.
They threw him in for being bi?
For being gay.
You know, really?
But, I mean, it's not like they're going to differentiate. So.
What do you think? Is it really religion, or are guys just so afraid they're going to like a BJ from another dude?
I think it's probably the second one.
Is it right?
Because religion is just a cover-up for what people think anyways.
Right,
you know,
right,
it's a justification.
Right.
Oh, God told me not to be afraid of the dong. You know,
yeah, right? So weird, man.
It's really weird.
It is so weird. And it really, like, when we talked about this on the show before, like, when you talk, like, the fear of trans, the phobia of trans, transphobe, it really is just applying to men who live their life as women. Because we see women living as men constantly. Our PE teachers, UPS drivers, everybody at the fucking post office, right? I mean, your hairstylist. I mean, I see like butch lesbians all the time. Nobody says anything. A guy coming in high heels, in a short skirt, freaks the fuck out of everybody.
Although, I'll say this. Do you guys know who Bailey J is?
Bailey J?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, everybody knows. But so, like, she's this weird outliner.
Well, so Bailey J is a really good friend of mine. I've had her on my podcast, which just started again a couple times, and she's really into magic. So we have great, great conversations. But we were talking the other day, and she was saying that she walks down the street and she will see like the most straight-laced dudes looking at her, like someone's dad, someone's grandpa, like the guy who works at the ice cream shop because she lives in a small town in the South. And they just kind of look at her and then kind of look away like a little bit ashamed. Like they know, like they've whipped it out a few times.
Yeah, they've seen her. Yeah,
it's not just they've seen her; like they've seen
Lisa Ann is an adult film star. I've had her on a past podcast on another podcast, and she calls it "We've Been Together."
Uh huh.
Yep. Like when she knows that somebody's watched her videos, and I'm sure. And you know, I'm being honest with you, dude. I mean, they just did a study. They said like 75% of like millennial women say they're bisexual. Because it's like almost encouraged. But I'm telling you, with the porn coming out now, the amount of dongs guys have seen in their days.
I do joke
about it. It's like, I'm not gay. I just want pretty dicks. Nice BSR. You know what I'm saying, Aaron? You know what I'm talking about? Some nice ball shaft ratio. You know what the kid's talking about.
Well, you know, that was actually when I don't know how we've gotten onto this properly, but let's just go with it. When trans porn started getting really, really mainstream and very popular, like maybe 10, 15 years ago, one of the sociological one of the things they were talking about is men have seen so many dicks in porn that it's not just that they're desensitized to it, but they now have an erotic response to it because they've been beating off while other guys' dongs have been in the picture.
Dude,
and, you know,
100%.
From the magical perspective, what you beat off to, you know, you kind of embed in your unconscious. So they were saying that when men see, you know, what do you say, M to F,
male to female,
male to female, trans, and it's like it's everything they're attracted to, like breasts, ass, and a dick. It's like all of those things now cause a response, so it's like people are going crazy for it.
Yeah, I think they can
never talk about it. So when we're talking about when people are say, oh, like, you know, put somebody, attack somebody who's gay or something like that, like with Oscar Wilde, I think what they're really saying is, I definitely do not like dong. You can totally tell by the fact that I'm putting this guy in jail liking dong.
100%.
That proves it.
Yeah, 100%, dude. I just can't get tempted, so I'm going to put everybody away. And, like, the more these politicians hate gay people, the more we know they love gay people.
It's always the case.
When they're like, God is going to strike down the gays, what he's really saying is, God, why can't I have all the dicks? That's what he's really saying, right?
No, it's always like that one fundamentalist preacher who's like, yeah, all gays are going to hell. And then, like, next week he's, like, doing meth with a male escort in a car somewhere.
Well, I just feel like that's kind of like the society right now. We encourage women to be as weird as possible. But then I think men are just so afraid they're going to like it. It is a man as a, I feel bad for trans too. Like, you know, it's just like, there's not a lot of jobs out for them. Males to female. It just like, it's just for me, I don't care. I love when I see it. Cause it's like, okay, this person's cool enough to hire somebody like this, you know, but it's like, I just feel there's not a lot of jobs out there. Makeup, hairstyling, and walking Santa Monica Boulevard outside of fucking Donut Time. That seems to be the career options out there.
I don't know. I've known a ton. I've been really good friends with a ton of trans people in my life, including I have one, Eleanor Seda, who is one of the best computer security experts in the world.
Oh, that's great.
And is a kung fu master and all this stuff. So,
dude, that's a TV show right there. Trans kung fu master who does computer fucking security. Okay, go on.
But yeah, it's a hard life, you know, because it's like, you know, I feel like people who are trans are often so incredibly creative and lit up and alive and really the source of the party and just, you know, they're kind of lighting everything up around them, yet they get judged by everybody from all sides, you know, particularly walking down the street, you know.
Men are afraid they'll enjoy it, and women, there are some women who see it as like a threat to their power in a weird way, you know.
Really, you think so? I don't know, I never thought about that. So,
you know, well, I mean, like, why do women hate prostitution? Why are there some women who hate prostitution when you actually think prostitution, in my opinion, is the most feminist thing, allowing a woman to do whatever she really wants to? Why are there women who don't like it? Because they're afraid that it'll allow the men to go and go around the mating process and go just pay for it and cut the line.
You know, I think underneath so many social taboos is really genetic stuff, right? It's fear of, especially on the male side, a lot of the paranoia is fear of my kid won't be my own, so therefore I have to control women. Or on the
well, that
male
is the most basic of them
side,
all.
You know, but it's all of it is there's it's just, you know, jungle stuff, you know, in a way, or very primal stuff.
Well, it's funny that it's fascinating that Crowley is a Libra.
And we bring it back.
There
see?
We go. All
see?
Right. And bringing it back to the great beast.
it's fascinating. He's a Libra. I'm a Libra. And the thing.
Would you like to be
so
a Libra?
Libras
to
are
be a Libra?
Scales, right? They're the only inanimate object on the zodiac wheel, right? And so everything else is an animal or creature, half a human. Half
what is
hybrid.
A Libra?
It's the scales. So the idea is, if you think about it, being a balanced person is being both male and feminine.
Yeah.
Being a balanced person is both big chaos and order. And so much of what Crowley was is a constant, like what I find in myself. So many Libras are very creative people, but we're also, when we're out of whack, we're out of whack, dog. You know what I mean?
That's interesting.
You take it to the extremes, then you rebalance.
You take it to the limits.
I mean, Sam's probably only seen me a handful of times when I'm like borderline manic, and he's like, whoa, dog. Like when Eddie Bravo and Sam Tripoli call you crazy, you've done something good.
We were driving back from from our successful run on our comedy tour. And we just, like an idiot, I go, hey, we should just drive back. And everyone's like, yeah, let's do it. I'm like, oh, man, I can't believe I agree. So we drove back from Sacramento that night. And so he decides to drive because everybody – I'm a wonderful driver that people don't get. Like, I went to China, right? And I
They don't get your driving?
Yeah, I'm so advanced of a great driver that they see me as a bad driver.
I like that you went to China and they're like, oh, this guy's just as good as us.
No, my point is, like, I didn't – hear me out. I didn't see hardly any accidents. So I'm thinking maybe they're such good drivers that our bad driving makes them crash. Like, if I play basketball with Magic Johnson and he throws a cool pass, I don't get it. I make him look bad.
Ah, got it. Okay.
Which is what my driving is. I'm so good, you don't understand it.
Oh, shit. That being said, I can't wait to the episode of Bill Burr's, what is that, Etiquette of Driving?
Yeah.
And it's him riding shotgun and you driving him.
I'm not against that. I'll do it. I'm doing it. So he was a Libra. Bisexual. They were a little nervous about him going in.
And he gets thrown out of that same fraternity. You know, you got to be a badass to get thrown
now,
out.
Now, is this the fraternity that they thought might have been the – who was the famous killer from back then?
Oh, you're really on the serial killers here.
Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper.
Oh, Jack the Ripper. Yeah, no. I don't think – not so much. But that would be a good movie or something like that.
There was a discussion that Illuminati or some sort of royal group – were behind the serial killing, that there was more than just one. It was a group of people.
Did you ever read – there was that great comic From Hell by Alan Moore where he talks about that. They made it into a movie with Johnny Depp that wasn't that great a while ago, but it's a great, great comic.
Yeah, that's Johnny Depp movies. They're either the most amazing thing or you're like, what happened? What happened? Okay, so go back to Crowley.
So picture yourself in 1902 and you go to Egypt. I mean, this is back in the day when you could still go inside of the pyramid. And so,
hold on. So he goes inside the pyramid to this. Now, is it a special room?
It's the royal chamber.
It was the king's chamber. And we should qualify this by saying it was to impress a girl. Where he'd just gotten married to Rose Kelly, who within 5 years would descend into madness and alcoholism, in part because of dealing with Aleister Crowley on a regular basis.
Oh, I'm sure that's the story, dude. You hear it all the time. I didn't mean like that. I mean like you hear like women who are with like these like insane like creative people kind of lose it over time, right? You know?
I've broken every woman I've been with.
Oh, that's a bad track record.
I'm friends with every girl I've ever dated. I'm still friends with them.
So you guys are balancing out like the scales.
Yeah,
like
there we go, dude. Weird. Finally, I'm not the crazy one.
So they go into the king's chamber in the Great Pyramid, and Crowley proceeds to do this giant magical ritual. And shortly thereafter, a voice manifests to him, which dictates this thing called the Book of the Law to him, which is this short document which claims that it is the Bible for the next 2,000 years and announces a new aeon, a new era for humanity, in which humanity will be freed from all religious control whatsoever, and the only religious dictum will be, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law, meaning you should find your true reason for existence, your true reason for incarnating in this world, and then follow it, whether it's being a stand-up comedian or writing weird books about the occult or being
whatever
Donald Trump,
Ryan
I don't
is
know.
Whatever crazy thing Ryan's doing.
Everyone's got a role to play, you know, but the idea is that God is within, not up and outside.
Do you feel that this rule has been somewhat misinterpreted?
Absolutely.
And turned into more of a darker thing where people are like, oh, it means like go kidnap kids and get weird.
No, it's more been turned into, oh, dude, let's party. Like, you know.
Yeah.
It's more like, oh, you know, doing tons of blow while you're making Led Zeppelin 4. Like, oh, this is so profound. You know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think every drug, as long as you can make great art on it, should be legal. If you can't, like, until somebody makes a great album on crystal meth, it should be illegal. Right?
I think the Crystal Method did that.
That's what I thought, too.
Really?
Probably more, too.
Probably was true.
So interesting, dude. So he goes and he goes to this chamber. Now, you've told me before only a couple people have been allowed in that chamber.
Nowadays, back in the day, you can. Today, they don't allow you anymore. They used to, Graham Hancock would do these tours, and you used to be able to meditate in there. They no longer. The Egyptian government does not allow people to have solo meditation. Which sucks, man. If you get to pay the money, why not?
But didn't you tell me that like there was only a small group of people have done it, and they're like some crazy who's who of like crazy people? Like, because when you told me Hitler,
Well, Napoleon has been in the Great Chamber. That was what
Napoleon, Hitler, Elster Crowley.
Wait, Hitler? What's the story? I never heard that. I heard the Napoleon one. I think his troops shot off the nose of the Sphinx. That's why it doesn't have a nose. They were just bored.
Wow. I mean, like, and now you see all these Taliban guys taking down all this.
Man.
It just sucks.
It just sucks.
People just crazy. So he goes into this crazy room. He talks to God. And he writes this book. And what proceeds after this?
So then he proceeds to, of course, take control of the OTO, which is another secret society, and turn it into an excuse to do a ton of drugs and get laid a lot and collect sycophants and acolytes. Because that's what you do when God talks to you, right? You're like,
yeah.
This is it. This is my golden ticket.
That being said, patreon.com/tinfoilhat.
Well, you know, I've been doing a joke about it because the sex cult that's near... That just came out, the Exium.
Oh, dude.
That is right by where I grew up.
What is so much crazy, by the way, so much crazy stuff is going on right now that it's like it's impossible for even the weirdest conspiracy theories to keep up. I mean, there's that. There's this thing that's happening at the border with these kids. It's like things are so fucked right now that it's like, wait, even the craziest conspiracy theories can't compete with how demented reality is right now.
Yeah, the chaos is harmonizing. It's getting weirder and weirder. The oscillation of just defunctness is definitely amplifying.
It is, you know, when people talk about the apocalypse, it's not really the end of days, but isn't the Great Awakening more about the Great Awakening?
The Great Awakening to just how fucked everything really is?
Yeah, I think you have to look at it before you can really... really start to clean it up. It has to be exposed. And, you know, this whole stuff, you know, it goes back to, like, Crowley having this quote-unquote spiritual connection with this higher thing and then using it to get power and snatch, which is, like, a very big thing that we see with this guy. And I do joke about Keith. Keith is the cult leader.
He's a very, like, innocuous-looking dude in a cardigan or something like that.
He looks like the guy who works at all the adult bookstores that are still open, right? And he's just like this guy who looks like he used to hunt Bigfoot. And he now is, like, this leader. And these people all follow him because, you know, in Hollywood, you really think like, a lot of these women that he gets are, like, actresses trying to make it. And they just they feel they have to join something to get an in.
Oh man, Sam, I want to know about this because, like I was saying, I heard you on Duncan. You had such an amazing show. You guys were talking about, like, the dark side of Hollywood, talking about, like, Nickelodeon stuff, and all that. And it sounded like you'd seen some shit and some shit accessories. I got this sense of, like, this kind of, like, this knowing, this old school Hollywood knowledge.
I've been curious about this. Out here for about 20. I think in 99 I moved here, and just what I've seen happen in this town and what I see happening right now, this cult, this kind of herd mentality, I've seen people basically sell their soul and how is it affects them, and they get everything they want and they're still miserable and they just join these groups, and, you know, you see it on social media.
Wait, that's the interesting, so the joining the groups part, so what's that about? That's the interesting part right there.
Well, you know, there's a, you know, I do a joke about how, like, to make it in Hollywood, there's this whole notion you gotta join one of a couple groups. You can be part of the gay mafia, Jewish,
Scientology,
AA is a big one.
Oh, really?
And then I put the sex cults, and I go, if you're in all of them, your name is Tom Cruise. Okay, so that's how that goes. But it's just the truth. You see, like, and I do the joke about how, like, my friends all whose careers aren't going well, they'll do that 23andMe. Do you know what that is? Where they basically see their genetic, and if they get a sliver of Hebrew in there, they just run around like a fiddler on the roof. They're inviting everybody to their fucking bar mitzvahs, like, and they're throwing out the Hebrew bat signal at every fucking show they're doing. And it happens. It's just the truth, because there's this notion that if you're in, your things will happen for you. And it's just the truth is, man, there is some randomness to all this shit.
I'm not going to lie. The first Jewish girl I dated in Hollywood, I thought I made it, man. I was like, dude.
Yeah.
I wrote my mom. I was like, hey.
Mama, I'm with one of the Hebrews.
We're good.
Shit's going to work out. And I love Jewish chicks. I think they're sexy as shit. You know? But you just see this town. This town changes. And I watch it happen a lot. I watch people come in with this kind of this bravado, gunslinging. And then you just see them, you know, it's. You know, there's this outrage culture that this town has, and you start seeing people starting to buy into it, and it's almost like this, hey, I'm playing ball type attitude. I see it happen all the time.
Virtue signaling.
Yeah, that's
That's just social media in general, too, you know.
But out here, it's used to, like, kind of let people know that you're playing ball. And I see people, you know, I did a show recently at the Dojo of Comedy, and Rick Overton was in there. And he was talking, we were talking conspiracies, and he said, the people who make it never want to talk about this stuff. Because once you make it, you stay away from this because you don't want to rock the boat. And it's very true.
Interesting.
So there's people I see, and I'm not going to say their names, and I see them on the internet constantly. And they are constantly, like, just regurgitating, like, this kind of pop culture, mainstream media crap as this virtual singing stuff. And they attack people who question all this. Like, wonderful people. I see these guys attacking these wonderful people attacking wonderful people in this desire to, like, kind of, like, again, virtual single that, because they're so in, they don't want to do anything to rock that boat.
Interesting. Well, Crowley was a guy who rocked the boat nonstop. He basically would flout every single social convention and try and shock people. He was, you know, an edgelord, as
you
say.
You know,
now.
And in reality, and I think we talked about him before in the fact that he's almost like this Kanye West type guy, where it's like he realized if you go big explosions, people talk about it.
Totally.
He has a quote. It says, I have never grown out of the infantile belief that the universe was made for me to suck. Talk about, like everything is mine. Like you know, that's...
Well, you know, it's like the people who make it at these very high levels, there is a psychopath level to that.
Mm-hmm. And he says, ordinary morality is only for ordinary people.
Dude, I could get that, man. I get what he's saying. You see that a lot, man. It's like we've talked about this before, where it's like, you know, people think that these politicians running for these high office are philanthropists. They're lovers of their fellow people. And it's like, those people don't run for that.
No, it's like, if you look at the history of the world, there's always a set of rules for the common people.
Yes.
And then the set of rules for, oh, well, we really know what's going on. We're behind the scenes, so we're just going to do whatever the fuck we want. And that's just, I think, how power operates. You can see that in Machiavelli. You can see that. If you just read the history of the world, you see people creating these elaborate smoke screens in religions and, oh, yes, look at the priest. You know, don't look at the man behind the curtain, but just, you know, bread and circuses and religions and big magic shows to keep everyone occupied. And, you know, I like the metaphor of magic, and I like to say, well, I'm a wizard. I'm a magician. So I get like people start thinking, well, what is that? But it's a great platform for me to say, well, you know, what is magic? What is reality? Like, is it that you are a magician, or that a giant magic spell has been cast on you? That the world is like a magic show that's created not just by people in power, but also to some extent by your own ego to hypnotize you into forgetting who you are. But that's always how it's operated. And you look at Egypt, you know, like all those big pyramids. Oh, we're at the top of the pyramid. Look at all these big fuck-off statues of gods and stuff. We must know something that you don't. No, they don't. They're just some guy up there, you know, like, you know, eating dates and getting blown and hoping that nobody comes and figures out what they're up to.
Yeah. They're all mortals. And that's my whole thing about Keith and the Nexium cult. It's just like, you let this guy brand you? This guy is just a dude. And he, like, man. And he can't be older than 45, 50 at the most. Like, he's going to tell you how the universe that's been around for millions of years, he's going to tell you how the simulation fucking works.
Maybe he had a nice car in it, you know, that just followed from there that he knew everything.
Yeah, I mean, like, he figured out some kind of cheat code, dog, because these chicks started loving this stuff.
It never fails to amaze me, people's lack of common sense. It really doesn't.
Yeah, you ever think that we take for granted just how much that we, like you say, you have a bullshit meter? Because, I don't know, I could, like, go into a room and I'm like, I know who's holding. But when I look at that Keith guy, I'm like, yeah, he's a fucking creep. the creep in me recognizes the creep in him. You
that's
know?
Every so like, serial killer that they catch. And their neighbor's like, he's a nice guy. I'm like, look at him, dude.
Yeah.
That guy makes my skin crawl. How did you not? Like, dude, it's energies, man. How
yeah,
do
yeah,
you,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because like you're saying, magic we think doesn't exist. Well, science is magic.
Right.
I mean, his quote is, science is always discovering old scraps of magical wisdom and making a tremendous fuss about its cleverness. Like, look what we got. It's like, magicians already knew about that.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's, you know, I look at magic is, okay, so I don't put magic and science in opposition at all. Science tells us about objective truths and what reality is constructed of and all that. Magic is about how we make meaning out of all that stuff. Whether it's for us personally, you know, the meaning we make from the random events of our life, whether what meaning other people make. And if somebody makes a really convincing meaning, whether it's this guy or a religion or a government or whatever, and they get enough people to believe it and play along with their game that they made up, then they have power. But for me, it's like all of that is magic. But the idea is not to embrace that. The idea is to say, wake up a little bit and say, hang on. You know, like I'm wrapped up in all this bullshit that everyone's been spinning around me my entire life. And all of it is subjective.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, people can get in a fishbowl and they're in this fishbowl. And it's this world. And it seems like the entire world, everybody's. And it's just you in this fucking fishbowl. And this town is very much a fishbowl that operates on its own. That like the people in this town have this kind of it's this own like kind of kind of small world that is disconnected to the whole rest of the world and has its own rules and its way it's operated, and it has no connect. Like I listen to some of the comedy being done in comedy clubs here, and I'm like, if I took you and I put you in Dayton, Ohio, there would be a death going on stage because you are doing comedy that they cannot relate to. And it's these rules that don't apply anywhere else.
Yeah, there's good stuff about that, though. I mean, L.A.
There is good stuff
about it. Can you imagine somebody like me, like, existing in Dayton, Ohio on a day-to-day basis? You know, it's a bit of a harder sell out there. But here people are like, oh, yeah, you know, magic. Tell me more.
Oh, yeah. It's like, well, how crazy is your crazy? And I've always said this about comedy. Comedy is how much money can you make off your mental illness? That's really what it is. Like, the craziest human beings. Like, Ellen's made so much money off her mental illness. She is a crazy human being. And she's made tons of money. I'm saying that. Jason's not saying that. I'm saying that. She's a crazy human being who's been able to play this game and parlay that into millions and millions, if not a billion
dollars. Yeah, she has a rare form of dancy leg syndrome. It's kind of like Parkinson's. She just is always kind of grooving all the time.
My friend said there's something up with you when you're like in your late 50s and you're still dancing on TV. There's something weird about
that. She must be enjoying it. But hey, why not? I mean, you know, the whole world is a mental hospital. Everyone's freaking crazy
on
this
planet.
You know, why not run with it?
The world is a mental hospital.
It really is. Philip K. Dick wrote a book, I think, called Clans of the Alphane Moon, where he said that it was set on a moon that was set up as a mental institution. And mental patients were sent there, and they form gangs based on what mental illness they had. So it's like schizophrenics versus bipolar people.
Oh,
and it's like, but it's obviously a satire of Earth, right? You know, it's like, well, that's kind of what the deal with Earth. People separate themselves out into groups based on what particular delusion they have, whether
Dude,
it's a political party
so
or
great.
Religion. Or whatever it is.
Our crazy versus your crazy?
Yeah, no, that's it. That's Earth, our crazy versus your crazy. So to be a spiritual person, quote unquote, or magician or whatever nonsense phrase you want to put on it is to be like, hang on, everyone's fucking crazy here. Like, this is all bullshit.
Yeah.
And then either you decide to just go sit in a cave or you might decide, maybe I should just make up my own individual brand of crazy and see if I can get people to play along with it.
You know?
So what did Crowley get right? Like, what could we take away the positives? Or
okay.
At least the-
That's a good question. He got a lot right. I think that, first of all, he was a phenomenal and is a phenomenal resource in learning lots of very good spiritual techniques, whether it's magic or yoga. He collected a lot of that stuff in his writing, most of which he did not invent. He got it from his teachers or other cultures, but he wrote it down very clearly.
That's Jesus, right? Jesus did the same thing. Like, I used to have a joke about Jesus. They'd be like, he's doing Buddha. That's fucking Buddha's jokes.
He stole
his
routine.
That's off his first fucking album. What the fuck, man? You know? So I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's kind of what they say about Jesus. It was just a regurgitation of
Bill Hicks.
He was the Dennis Leary to fucking Buddha's Bill Hicks.
There you go. Bill Hicks was the Buddha.
Yeah.
So we'll run with that. And I think his core philosophy of do what thou wilt, meaning not let's party, but meaning what's true is what's true for you, and the truth is not the same for everyone, and what's most important is for you to fulfill what you feel your true calling in life is. And that's, of course, something that appeals to people out here in Hollyweird and not so much in the Midwest. But
I get that, dude. And I do think it got abused. I think people, when someone goes, why not live for your dreams? I tell people, they move here and then they get a day job. And then I'm like, you didn't move here for a day job.
Yeah.
You moved here to do what you love to do and try to make a dollar off that. You get a job that allows you to do that. So eventually you could lose that fucking job. But what I think happens is these dark forces, as it always is, takes this and twists it, and it gets to fucking use, abuse, and fucking torture, whatever you want to do, because it's your life and you do what you want to do.
Yeah, although to be fair, the people who are going to do that are probably going to do it no matter what.
100%.
They're just fucking sociopaths.
But they use his thing I'm following Crowley and he says to do this. And yeah. That means I could be a fucking asshole.
Although surprisingly, that very, very rarely happens. Although, man, speaking of Hollywood, you guys know the whole Roman Polanski thing?
Yeah.
The whole thing up in the hills in the 60s, and they were running some type of whole black magic ring up in the Hollywood Hills that Roman Polanski was involved in around prior to the Manson murders, and Manson was wrapped up in it, and it was alleged that some of the Manson killings may have been to cover up certain things.
Oh, yeah, I think we need to do a podcast on that, because there's a whole bunch of stuff about the Manson murders that it was done to demonize the hippie culture.
Oh, yeah. Oh, then you look at that angle. Yeah, that's crazy, because as soon as that happened, it's everyone's doing acid and breaking the rules and getting enlightened. Oh, we can't have that. We can't have that. Send in this guy from prison that we know is going to fuck this whole thing up.
Yeah. And it's very interesting because you demonize the stuff, you outlaw the drugs, you do this stuff. I remember a good friend of mine, we had him on the podcast, El Dorado. And he's like, if weed was legal, I would smoke it. I go, why do you allow other people to decide what the rules of life you follow? I mean, obviously, murder, rape, stealing, those are things we should not do and they should be outlawed. But when you look at why is this outlawed? Why is weed outlawed? And you look at the darker motives behind that.
Keeping people in prison.
Prison, and now you see this big move that, we're going to legalize weed across the country. Wow, that coincides exactly with Monsanto's basically setting up all these weed fucking growing places. And it drives me mad.
No, my theory about that is I think that they figured out that if we legalize this, A, we'll look really good and people will have their token freedom that will kind of calm them down. And B, they'll be sedated because they'll be high all the time. That's a win-win, but all the wins are on the side of the people in power. So,
well, the whole reason it's never been voted in is because stoners always forget. It's what? Yesterday. Oh, shit, man. Next year. Next year.
I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with weed, because I think it's going to change and it's going to be a different kind of weed. That doesn't make you question authority. They're going to figure it out.
Fuck with it.
They just increase the paranoia.
Right?
You smoke it and you're you see cops everywhere. Holy shit. What is that?
Well, it's so crazy about Crowley, because people always quote the do as thou wilt, but there's these two quotes that to me, he's got a hippie side to him and he has a punk rock anarchist side. And one, the hippie side is love is the law, love under will. And that's simple enough, but love under will is the controlling side. I see how he knows that love alone, won't save it. And then the one that is kind of the opposite is the key of joy is disobedience.
Yeah.
That's if you ever thrown a rock through a window, a window that did not belong to you, that's fucking joyful feeling.
It is, dude. I've done it back in the day and I felt bad about it for about a second. And that was, my nipples got hard and I enjoyed it.
Did you know the person whose window it was?
Well,
was
no, I'm sorry. I cut you off a lot today. I'm very sorry. I've amped on fucking coffee. So I owe you an apology, Jason. There's wherever you grow up as a child, there's a woman who is called a witch. There's somebody on your block that's a witch, and her only thing is that she's old and doesn't talk to anybody. So everyone's convinced she's a witch.
And her husband died long ago, and she has no friends, and the kids are scared of her.
You know, right. And I just remember, like, fuck the witch, and I threw a bottom glass window, and I've always felt bad about that.
Yeah, well, a witch is just anyone you don't understand, and a black magician is anybody who, you know, has more money and gets more laid than you, so...
Oh, I thought it was the any magic show on BET. Nothing on that?
So what did Crowley get wrong? obviously, we hear so much of the negative. Like, what is probably that stands out in your mind as just unforgivable as some acts that Crowley has been involved in?
Well, there's the goat fucking. That's a big one.
He fucked a goat?
No, he tried to get a goat to have sex with one of his scarlet women, Leah Hersig, in Cefalù in Italy. They were so in the
20s. Why a goat?
Why not? I mean,
I thought the preferred thing is dog.
They were, I don't know, maybe it
maybe
was
a goat was only
thing.
Available.
They were real fucking high. I mean, why anything? But so Crowley and a band of his followers moved to an island off the coast of Sicily in the 20s to basically do drugs and magic full time, and they were loaded out of their skulls on heroin and coke and ether, and they eventually got thrown out of the country by Mussolini. Didn't like them, particularly because he thought he was the Antichrist and Crowley claimed he was the Antichrist, so Mussolini got his feathers
ruffled.
This
can be only one
bit.
Devil. They're like Highlanders.
One. Exactly. But I think they were real high, and Crowley tried to get a goat to have sex with his girlfriend, but the goat refused to perform, so he did it. He took the goat's place.
How bad looking is that chick that the goat won't fuck her? Anybody?
Oh, Jesus.
Do you know how sheep herders actually make love with their sheep?
I don't need to hear it again. I don't need to hear it again.
I forget what things I tell you on the ride over here.
Yeah,
and on
I don't need to hear it again. It's rude.
So who would you say after Crowley, so how does Crowley's life, how does the last chapter?
So he's from a rich family, but then he dies broke?
Well, he burned through his inheritance by his 30s, and after that point, and by the way, he burned it on self-publishing because nobody would publish his book, so he financed all of his own publishing, and he made this beautiful set called The Equinox of hardback books, 10-volume encyclopedia, and he went through all of his money trying to get his own writing out. People assume it was through something less responsible, but he was trying to get the information out to the world, so that's actually pretty impressive.
Jeez.
But by his mid-30s, he'd burned through it, and then by that time he was an addict because he developed asthma as a mountain climber. He was prescribed heroin and cocaine and then became an addict, so he was kind of mooching off of his students and starting frivolous lawsuits to try and get money and like all this really shady activity for the rest of his life. But he died in 1947 or 1949, I think, in Hastings, in a senior citizen's home in England. And by that time, he'd written a ton of books. He'd had many, many phases of his life, and he kind of was very reflective and probably very composed about it at the end, and I think had kind of moved through his more hellacious period. He left the world with a tremendous amount of knowledge that wouldn't have... I mean, look, the guy was so good at both publishing and writing and also making himself this huge spectacle to get attention that all of that is remembered. I mean, everyone knows who Crowley is. I mean, if you're some kid that's listened to Led Zeppelin, you know who Crowley is. Mm-hmm. He's on the cover of Sgt. Pepper's, all this. And if he hadn't done any of that, all of that would have been forgotten. No one would remember magic. It would be lost to history. So I guess we have him to thank for that. Although, you know, he gothed it up a little bit too much, I think. But, you know, we're moving past that now.
Now, it's rare you get to ask someone that probably knows the insight. What do you think of the lamb and the suggestion that it's aliens, gray men connection?
The lamb? Lamb. L-A-M. Oh, the gray alien that Crowley drew. Okay, so check this out. A couple of weeks ago, I was on Whitley Strieber's podcast.
All right.
You know him, the guy who wrote Communion?
Oh, yes.
The book about the gray aliens?
Yeah.
And I asked him about this. I was like, what do you think about lamb? And he said it was clearly evidence that Crowley had contacted these beings or had been contacted by them early on. But who knows, man? I don't know. I've never seen a UFO. You think I would have, but I'm like, all my normal friends have seen UFOs. And
maybe
I'm the weird one. I've never seen one.
So much crazy shit that crazy doesn't show up to you.
They're just like, we're wasting
doesn't
our time.
It seem
we're
like
preaching to the choir.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like just you get one kind of crazy. and you don't get all the kind of crazies.
Then you got to join up with the other people of your tribe.
Yeah, and it's just like you don't get, if you believe in witches, you don't get to see the UFOs. If you believe in the UFOs, you don't get to see the Bigfoots. And if you believe in Bigfoots, you don't get to see the Rothschilds. You know, it's like you pick whatever weird shit you see. And nobody thinks that's an interesting idea?
Maybe, yeah.
I would love to.
I'd love to see everything because I believe it all going on. And I believe there's truth about it. And I believe there are people like, well, why does anyone say anything? Well, they do. You just discount it, or your medium in which you receive information does not talk about it. And therefore, out of sight, out of mind. And it doesn't happen. But I do believe magic and UFOs. And I believe in interdimensional. And I believe in simulation theory. And I believe in all that shit.
But that's like everything in life, right? You see what you look for. I mean, you could look for magic and you'll see it. You could look for investment banking and you'll see it. You could look for... opportunities to be a housewife and you'll see it. You know, it's like that's human life. You see, there's infinite information in the world and you see what you look for.
100%, dude. What a great episode. You should come on once a month.
Where can everyone find you? Like you said, you've been recording your podcast again and the book and everything. Plug it all up.
Yeah, so the podcast is called Ultra Culture with Jason Louv. It's on iTunes. It should be on Google Play and Stitcher by now. And I'm interviewing people from the worlds of not just spirituality and magic, but high technology and kind of outsider thinkers. And we're trying to get to grips with this insanity that we live in, the 21st century, and where ancient wisdom can help us with modern craziness. So that's going really well. I just had on Gary Lachman, who wrote a book called Dark Star Rising about how magic influenced the Trump campaign.
Oh, dude, I got that book.
Yeah. It was a good interview.
Mark Maron told me to get that book.
Yeah, it's a good book. It's a good book. I just, you know, I've got just interviewed Bailey J. I mean, there's tons of
good stuff. So much good stuff. You're getting crazy authors, transsexual porn stars. I mean, you got your own book. I mean, goddamn. Why can't we just do a podcast about trans witches who see interdimensional shit? I think it would be great.
That was my episode with Bailey J.
I love
That's where we went.
Jason, you're a class act. We love you. I did jump you a couple times, and I owe you an apology for that. And I will hear it in the comment section. So beat away. I deserve it. You are always welcome on the show. You need to come to the Comedy Store more and hang out. Aaron, we'd normally ask you what you think, but we know you'll be rude.
I just have one question. Is it Crowley or Crowley?
Crowley rhymes with unholy, not Crowley. That rhymes with Fowley.
Yeah.
So you're saying Ozzy was wrong?
Mr. Crowley. Oh,
man, that's hard truth.
Well, are you telling me you can't believe Ozzy said something wrong? The guy who gets somebody to sing for him at his concerts?
Okay, now we're in a whole other conspiracy. Jeez.
Is that true?
Yeah. The guy came out and admitted that he did it.
He's earned it at this point.
Yeah, let him go. Who cares? You just want to see him up there. Dude, I've been watching him since the 90s walk around like a baby that just shit its diapers, and it's like, fine, dude. I enjoyed The Rock.
Well, Jason, I'd love to open a portal with you and Duncan sometime.
When can we open portals, dude?
Next episode. We'll do the whole episode in a portal.
Dude, we're going to do a portal. Guys, you're the best. We love you. 101 is in the books. Y'all.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.